everybody, and welcome back to part two of the Things We Said Today episode for Grey's Anatomy. This is the Grey's Academy podcast. We're here to teach you all about the things that happen on the episodes of the show. And this is part two, so make sure you've listened to part one. After you've done that, you can come back here, and we will be starting off this episode with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Nailed and this it. Episode is brought to you by the one, the two,
the
only, the us. Go out and do me a favor, everyone. Take your phones out of your pockets. If you've been looking for an excuse to look at your phone, maybe you haven't in the last 15 seconds.
Proud of you.
She says, leaned back in the chair, yelling from across the room, basically. Go to whatever platform you're listening on, hit that 5-star button, hit that share button, go into your Instagram if you have it, and if you don't, get an Instagram, okay? Then tag at Grey's Academy Pod and share and say, this is the greatest podcast I've ever listened to, and this gets put in the time capsule for when aliens finally land on Earth, okay? This is what we're here for, people. For you, for the content, to
for
provide
the aliens.
You. For the aliens, okay? But in all seriousness, we appreciate the 5-star reviews. It obviously that helps the algorithms. The write a review, write a comment on Spotify. Tell your friends, tell your family. tell Sandra Oh and Ellen Pompeo.
Shonda Rhimes.
Shiler Lee, Shonda Rhimes. T.R. Knight. Kevin McKidd,
Catherine Heigl.
Running out of Catherine. Well, Catherine Heigl. Yeah, that's fair. Catherine Heigl. I'm running out. Oh, the guy who plays Derek Shepherd, Patrick
Dempsey. Everybody.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Everybody.
I'm just thinking of names of the actual actors that I'm trying to. That was it. I think I've run out. Eric Dane.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Williams.
More.
Jesse Williams is
Jackson Avery.
Who's Alex? I could not remember Alex.
Justin Chambers.
He's got a cool name.
He does have a cool name.
So tell the people this is what they want. And also for anyone out there who's mad that I remember Kevin McKidd's name over the last two, it's go back to that episode where my dad was randomly like, is Kevin McKidd still on the episode? And I had no idea who the hell he was. So that's why it's now apparently in the core of my fiber of my being now. But anyways, yeah, living in Shondaland. Who do we got?
Yes, we have, one, two, three friends in Shondaland today.
My first guess has to be the guy who accidentally walks into his own, hotel room and Joe and Alex yell at him.
No, but that was funny.
Damn it! I was really hoping that was someone living in Shondaland. Okay. Gasoline.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, gasoline. Stuart.
No.
Damn. Is it any of the big biker dudes with gasoline?
No.
Is it... Hold on, let me go back to my notes here. Is it the person at the hotel reception desk that gets them into the room?
No.
Is it the bartender that gets them drinks?
Ner.
Is it... Who else would it be? Who else?
The minister.
The minister!
And Ben's father.
Ben's father. Okay. I don't think
it says that he's Ben's father, but he's credited as Ben's father, so.
Okay. I don't think I saw Ben's father.
It would have just been someone at the wedding, probably. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so Dale Dickey is Gasoline, aka Emily Bennett. She was in one episode of Station 19, not as Gasoline.
Missed opportunity.
Kelly Lamar plays Mr. Warren. He was in one episode of Station 19, not the same episode.
Mm.
And Raymond Forcione is the minister. He was in one episode of Station 19 and one episode of Scandal.
Nice.
In Station 19, he also played a minister, apparently.
Oh, okay. Typecasted.
Apparently. And then in the Scandal, it said he was a judge. So kind of the same abilities.
Yeah. Judgment.
Well, the ability to perform a marriage.
Yes, that too. The other thing. What else was Gasoline in? Like, what is her IMDb page?
Yeah, she did look very familiar. I don't super remember, though.
That's okay. What was her name? I'm going to look up her IMDb page really quick.
Dale Dickey.
Home of the Dimmesdale Dale Dickey Dome.
Oh, she was in Iron Man 3.
Big role?
Mrs. Davis. I'm assuming that kid's mom, maybe?
Oh, that makes sense.
She Do you think was, she was in one of your USA shows?
I thought maybe, but
she
I
does a lot. Like her IMDb is stacked. Like she is working.
She did a voice in The Mandalorian, but I would not recognize her face from the voice. I'm pretty good at these things. I'm not that good.
I don't know what. It doesn't really feel like anything on here that you would recognize. I mean, but I don't know everything that you've ever watched, so who's to say? I guess.
Yeah, I guess I also don't know either. I don't even know what I've watched.
Did you watch Bones?
I didn't watch Bones.
Okay.
It's okay. I'm gonna give this like one more scroll through.
Did you watch
IMDb.
Justice?
No.
Oh,
no.
It sounds like a USA show.
Yeah, I'm done looking. Nothing, I guess. She's got a memorable face, I guess, or just kind of like generic face of a human woman.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things I wanted to add in. I know we're going to talk about some others, you know, simultaneous storylines. Back in the beginning of when,
yep.
It was a big one. Shit. When Ben is telling everyone that there's surgery and it's like going on, and Callie's like, "Ugh, I'm the worst maid of honor." Mm-hmm. And Arizona was like, "Who made you the maid of honor? Like, what are you doing?" That just was very funny to me.
Yeah.
Because that becomes like this running joke that she just assumes that she's the maid of honor, and Bailey eventually confirms calls it. Her the maid of honor.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure I called that out because that was very funny to me when that happened. So what else do we want to talk? Like, what storyline do we want to talk about first?
We can talk Callie in Arizona.
Oof. This one.
Yeah. I'm nervous to hear what you have to say about it. I'm going to be honest.
No. Don't be nervous. I think that this was a very nice storyline because they're fine. She's finally talking.
Yeah, they're speaking about it. They're again back to the thing with Miranda and Ben. The ability to share your fears with your partner speaks to a level of like stability and trust within a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely get where Arizona or where Callie's coming from. I hear her.
I get both sides for sure.
No, yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I was gonna like say I understand Arizona's side second, but like why I understand Callie's side is there's such an intimacy, and I think they've done a good job of writing Callie's character as a like a sexual person, but not where her identity is tied up in sex. Does that make sense?
Like how like maybe they kind of make you think of Mark, early Mark.
Yes, exactly. So it clearly means a lot to Callie, and that's awesome, and I get
it. Okay, hang on one second. If you did not watch this episode, this is like when they're waiting for Miranda Arizona comes up to Callie and she's like, hey, I got us a room. And Callie's like, oh, are you tired? Like, do you want to go lay down? And Arizona's like, no, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, nudie boobies.
Yeah.
And so Callie's like, oh shit, okay, like, let's go. Because Callie had expressed in a previous episode that she's frustrated with a lot of things surrounding the accident, including but not limited to they have not had sex since the plane crash. In that episode, she said 5 months, and in this episode, they say 7 months. So it's the same day, but okay. Oh, that Grey's Anatomy time, man. So they go to the room. They both say, like, they both confide in each other that they're nervous. Arizona says she wants to take the leg off before they start. And Callie's like, okay, do you want help? And Arizona's like, no, because it's not sexy and I want to be sexy. And so Callie goes in the bathroom and she's like, I'll just wait till you're ready. And then when she comes out, Arizona is just sitting on the bed, still like fully clothed and fully like still has the leg on and everything.
And well, Callie also calls Derek.
So funny.
He's like, hi, I just need to call and talk to someone. Like, how's your blood pressure? By the way, I'm
about to
bone.
So yes, that was very funny. And but she goes in, Arizona's like, I'm really sorry, like I thought I was ready, but I'm not ready. Please don't be mad. And Callie's like, I'm not mad. They sit, they hang, and then Arizona's like, please don't leave me, because this is really like, I know it's bad and I know it's hard, and I know it's bad and hard for you as well, but like, please don't leave me. So
yeah,
that was what happened.
Thank you. That was a very succinct summation of that. So I see Callie's side from, again, the sexual nature of her personality, and also like there is that desire. I also see Arizona's side of things of like, okay, Callie sees her one way. She said, you're still you, just minus a leg. And Arizona's like, I'm a different person.
Right.
And that's where the disconnect is. So
go ahead.
Well, it's just the way that they're perceiving each other. And also up until this point, Arizona was like just being the meanest version of herself to Callie because of the blame and the resentment for even she blamed Callie for losing the leg.
Right. To speak a little bit more on my take from Arizona's side. Yes, there's like both the physical trauma of like losing a leg and then the emotional trauma of the plane crash. I think attached to the physical trauma is when you're in your body and like there's a huge change and it doesn't like feel like your body anymore. Sex or really any like level of touch, honestly, can become like really far removed from anything you want. Like for me, the most like, I mean, it's not the same at all, but just like the thing that I think of when I felt a similar way is the first time that I was postpartum. Cause like your body changes so much. And then once you give birth, like your body changes a lot throughout pregnancy, but it's more gradual. Once you give birth, then like so much shit happens all at once. And it is fucking insane because you really don't like, it doesn't get talked about a lot before, you have a baby. So unless you've like gone out of your way or you have someone in your life who like will talk to you about it, you don't necessarily know. So like the bump obviously gets smaller, but it does not go away all at once. So you still like look early pregnant. If you have a vaginal birth, you're probably bleeding. So you're probably like wearing adult diapers around. If you have a C-section, your stomach has been, as we've previously discussed, cut in half and fully removed. Shout out. And then like the healing process. And then when your milk comes in, like your boobs are doing all this crazy stuff. And so like, I obviously have never lost a limb, but I do relate to the concept of like feeling not at all like your body is the body that you've known your whole life. And I imagine that that would be a similar sensation or similar like thought process. And that could make the physical touch aspect like difficult to like get back into. In addition to the fact that they have also gone through like a horrendous patch in their relationship.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to give my two cents on that.
Oh, it's a great two cents.
Thanks.
All of that while dealing with raising a child.
And like, Mark dying.
And Mark dying. Yeah, it's just everything is fucked. So, yeah, it's that's why, like, I see it on both sides. I was very excited for the step that Arizona made.
Yeah.
From me being very sex positive of all sex, all consensual sex out there. Sorry, I retract everything I just said. I'm very sex positive on all consensual sex. I wanted to make sure I took that first little blip out of there because I am not a fan of the non-consensual sex, and that would be under the all sex umbrella. So to be clear, only consensual sex.
And you love Cali in Arizona, so I
mean, and I love Cali in Arizona.
Be excited for
a little win,
which I still think this counts as a win because, to your point,
absolutely,
like, they are able to have a kind conversation, a productive conversation, a conversation where both people are listening and hearing and like responding to what the other one needs.
And there's still the intimacy. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know that we've seen much even kissing mm-hmm. from them since the accident. Not that I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And here they are like fully making out. What does she say? A full junior high makeout session is what Arizona called it. Like, yeah. That's great. That's a step mm-hmm. in the right direction. And I think to the other point of that, when Arizona's like, don't ever leave me. And Callie's like, look, when I was in the accident, you stayed by me the whole time too. Like, I'm not going anywhere. This is a change. We're going to be patient with each other. There's a lot that's going on. And they're giving the grace. There's finally communication. But I think this is the first time that we've seen Arizona really like, other open than up. That one time where she was like, hey, like that chef show that they watch or like Extreme Chef something is on. And then she like moved the blanket so Callie can sit with her. This is the first like real olive branch to the mm-hmm. next part of their relationship. So this is a great storyline. I'm actually a big fan. I don't know why you were nervous. What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know. Something about wanting them to just have sex.
Well, I would rather them just both have their boobs out on this episode. Like that would have been nice.
Carmen.
Full nip and all.
What else was I going to say? Something else about their relationship.
Cute. It's cute that they call up for champagne to go with their macaroni and cheese cupcakes.
First of all, shout out macaroni and cheese cupcakes. Love that.
Hell yeah.
I like that when Arizona says, like, what do you say to a good old-fashioned high school makeout or whatever? I like that because it sets the expectation because she's like, I am okay with this. It's like, just so we both know it's not going to go past this. But like, this is what, like, you know, this is where my comfort level is. So it's like making clear what that she's not like, oh, don't touch me at all. But like there is like this is how far I'm good with going. Like, is that OK with you if like that's all we're going to be doing? So I like that added level of like communication to the conversation.
Yes.
So
it's always nice to have
my opinion.
The boundaries. Those are nice, cute things. I don't think I have anything else to add for Cali and Arizona specifically. I might have more later, but when they do show up back to the wedding and then like Meredith is showing up and she's like, what did I miss? And they're like, everything. They're funny.
Okay. So first I want to talk about Joe and Alex.
Love it.
Because everyone else goes back to the hospital and they've been drinking, so they don't. And that's when they finally have the moment of Alex being like, I also had a shitty childhood. You're not special.
And she doesn't believe him at first.
Yeah, but well, because honestly, to her point, why would she? He's been a raging turd about it. So
yeah. Well, he calls her Hobo Joe,
which, and then while like, rude, is objectively also kind of funny.
Objectively hilarious. And everyone's like, oh, Hobo Joe, like a homeless person? She's like, ha ha ha, I don't know, it's weird. Rafflecopter, get out of here. Oh my God.
Leave me alone. I'm going to file a restraining order against you.
I don't think you can file restraining orders against business partners.
I want to bet.
I think it's in the Geneva Convention.
I don't need to do it because you live pretty far away. But I'm gonna.
Do restraining orders transfer
apply
to the
Zoom? No.
Apply to the airspace above your house. This is a no-fly zone on this dot. The airplane has to divert around your home. Yes. So, okay, continue. I'm sorry.
So yeah, they stay, they have their bonding moment. Then she like makes him feel like shit about something. And she pretends to cry and makes him feel bad. And then he's like, well, like girls can do that and get away with anything. And she's like, actually, fun tip. A man crying will freak out everybody because in our society, we don't want men to have emotions. Do you have feelings? Push them down and be mad.
Yeah. So well, before the crying piece, even so, when she, I don't know if you could pull up the full receipts of this conversation, but basically she actually go ahead and find those. But essentially she's like, how many foster homes did get kicked out of before you lived in a car? And he's like 17. And then I went to juvie.
Yeah.
And that's when she says, stop making fun of me.
Yeah. And he says, I'm not. And he said, you're actually lucky that your folks abandoned you means you didn't have to watch your schizo mom go after your baby brother with a steak knife. And she goes, fine, but you never woke up in the middle of the night with junkies banging on your bedroom windshield. Interesting phrase. Praying they'd get tired or bored before they put a rock through a window. No, I didn't, because the junkie was my dad and he didn't break Wingo's.
Wingo's! And a black Wingo!
I have to quit this podcast. So he didn't break windows, just fingers. And she said, well, did you ever have foster parents that made you and 19 other kids sleep on cots in the basement, locking the doors and lights out so that if you had to pee in the middle of the night, you had to use buckets they set up along the wall, buckets you couldn't see, because if you turn the lights on, the bigger kids would hold you down and take the buckets. And then Alex goes, no, never. She goes, me neither. Saw it on a movie in cable.
That was literally so funny. And then I think he makes a joke like, oh, you got cable?
Yeah, you got, how did you get cable in your car? And she's like, I don't live in my car anymore. You dumb turd.
They're funny. This is why I would like to see them together. Because they both have the opportunity to make a baby and break generational trauma. Or not make any babies and then end the trauma there with their lives. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, I'm like all I stand team. I'm on team Jolex.
Mm-hmm. So, you think they'll get together?
They're gonna get together. They're gonna have quintuplets.
When do you think they're gonna get together?
I think like I don't.
This is episode 10. I think there's 22 episodes in this season. Let's find out.
I think they're going to get together.
24 episodes. God, seasons used to be so long. Now I will be watching seasons of stuff that's fucking 6 episodes.
Yeah. Shout out Scrubs coming back, hopefully for a 90 episode season.
Oh, right.
I think season 9, episode 20, they will bone.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least a high school makeout sesh. Junior high makeout sesh.
Okay.
Yeah, official prediction.
Okay. This is a good season, dang. I'm just like looking at some episodes to come. Some good shit coming in hot, guys. You guys
yeah,
know.
Like season
Carmen
9, episode 20.
You guys know.
No, I don't know.
It's going to be some good shit.
So they test the theory. So you're saying about how she was like, a guy, that's the crying thing.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Everyone hates it.
He's and then, like, show me. I'm like, okay.
Show
you
me
guys,
the way.
You guys got to calm down. And so they go and argue in front of the front desk. And Alex, like, screams at her for forgetting or losing the keys. And then the front desk guy's like, what's wrong? And he's like, I'm so sorry. We are so fucking trashed. And she lost the key. And the guy's like, I, what room are you in? And they're like, 220. And he just gives, this is insane. This is insane that anyone would do this. And so then they just break into this poor man's room. Then when this man comes in the room, when they're ransacking the minibar, Joe fucking commits assault and hurls something at him.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what she was throwing.
I think it may have been like a can of Pringles.
That's funny.
But like, leave this man alone. You're already in his room.
Yeah. What do you do if you get into your room and you've been ransacked at the minibar? Like, how do you explain that? Hey, I don't know what happened, man, but I gotta dispute these charges.
Yeah.
I'm also of the mindset, this is in line with dads and their viewpoints on the air conditioner. But when you're out on vacation, you're with your family.
You better not even look at that fucking minibar.
Don't even sniff the minibar. Nothing.
However, hotel rooms, that is where you put the AC at like 62 degrees.
Oh, yeah. You break the machine and then they put you in a new room.
You did do that in the UK.
Well, in my defense, the AC was not great. You know, I still think, remember when we shared a little condo living room in Italy looking over at the Vatican, and we had like our beds were like next to each other and there's a little divider, and then we had a bathroom toilet with like a bidet that I was too scared to use.
That bathroom was the most intense of all the bathrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We shared rooms at every place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. I'm trying to remember. What was our...
In
Did
Paris,
we share a room in
we
Paris?
We stayed at that place that was really close to Disneyland Paris, and then we took the train in to actual Paris.
Yeah.
But the place we stayed in Disneyland was, like, castle-esque.
Yeah. I think that was a... Wasn't that the Paris Disneyland Hotel?
It was not technically. It was, like... It was more along the lines of like one of those Hiltons at Disney Springs that's like on the property, but like it's not a Disney hotel.
Got it.
No, I want to stay at Disneyland Paris's Disneyland Hotel because that's the one that's like at the entrance to the park.
We just got to go back.
But they also have a Marvel hotel at Disneyland Paris now. Definitely want to stay there.
Jess and I were talking to someone recently, and they were like, what'd you think of Disneyland Paris? And I was like, oh, I loved it. And then Jess was like, except for the shows, they were second rate. And I was like, what? Yeah, she's like, but all of the shows, they were like in French. And I was like, no, we went to the English versions of the shows. They had English speaking versions.
There was one show that we went to that was part, like, it was both English and
it was
French.
Mickey's
Other
Magical
that,
Hat,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Or Mickey and the like, Magician.
Something like that. Yeah, but she's like, the Marvel one, they were speaking French. And I was like, no, they were not.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. Because I remember, like, knowing what was happening. I just texted you a picture of the hotel room from Paris to see if it jogged your memory.
I do not remember anything about that room.
I think we were only there for, like, 2 or 3 nights, maybe.
Maybe because it's so generic.
Yeah, it was pretty generic. The hotel itself was like a castle.
I remember the entryway and the room and all the entry of it. Like it was a very cool entry.
Ugh, good time. Let's go back to Paris.
Let's like leave the fucking kids at home.
Let's go right now. Okay. What were they about?
Joe and Alex, they threw a bag of Pringles or something at poor guy.
And then they
just laugh at it.
Yeah.
He runs. He's running away. He's getting assaulted in his own room. A safe space.
Yeah, I feel bad for that guy. But other than that fun storyline, it's nice that, you know, we had previously mentioned it was annoying that Alex was not sharing that he had, like, similar past to Joe. They also, like, kind of recovered from their last week snafu of, what is happening with your hair? That could not look worse.
Oh my god, you just gave yourself straight across bangs. That was horrendous.
That was an, as soon as
it was
recognized
like a jump
it, I was
scare.
Like,
I'm like looking at my notes and then I look up and I'm like, ah.
Okay. Some, like thing going on here. I gotta get like a
yeah. You got some long hairs over there.
I know.
Okay. So yeah, they kind of overcame their issue where she tried to get him fired for letting her do surgery.
Yeah.
So that's good. Also,
and
when
Alex
he
came
says,
up with a great new nickname.
Yeah. Well, also when he says, you made me bring sand to the beach and it's sand I can't even sleep with. That was funny.
Yeah. What was it? He says that in the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, because he's mad about not being able to like hit on random strangers. So he's like,
yes, I'm going to miss easy wedding sex because mm-hmm. you two can't keep your hands off each other. You made me bring sand to the beach and it's sand I can't sleep with. I'm a hono. And that's when she said sleep with the I think Christina said sleep with the interns.
No, Christina's not there because of Owen.
Oh, that's
but,
right,
because
she's boning Owen.
Jackson's like, why can you all of a sudden not sleep with the interns? Like, you always sleep with the interns.
And that's when he says, I'm a homeowner now. I've grown up.
Yeah, he's really latched on to owning the home as, like, the reason to be an adult rather than just, I don't know, being an adult.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that part.
Conceptual.
Speaking of conceptual, let's talk about
capitalism.
Ads. Capitalism is a concept. Be right back. And we are back. Thank you. All right. That was the concept of capitalism.
It was great. We love it so much. So, yeah. Do you have anything else on Alex and Joe before we move on?
No, I do just want to reiterate how attractive she is.
Yeah, and she looks really good in that dress.
Yes, in the dress especially, yes.
So Steph and Jackson and Shane and April, I don't like, so Shane's uncomfortable because he like thinks that April wants to sleep with him and she doesn't, but all of a sudden I do feel like she's acting differently in the hospital. Like when they go back to the ER and she's like teaching him and she's like, she is more touchy-feely than I feel like they've normally portrayed her, but I think they're portraying her that like this is just how she is, and I'm like, but it's not. So yeah, that for me was kind of off.
They definitely were playing it up because of now all of a sudden Shane has this perception.
Yeah. He's also trying to talk a lot about medical things at the wedding to be like, so no one wants to sleep with me. I'm going to be talking about someone who's was growing fingernails where they were supposed to be growing hair. Oh
yeah. And Jack's like, cool story, bro.
Yeah,
the
so
fuck?
Rude, Jackson. Like, it's not middle school, you don't have to be a turd. So and then so he's all like uptight because he thinks April wants to sleep with him. She actually does not. And then similarly, Stephanie and Jackson are both like feeling the feel. They're feeling the vibes.
They're like, let's touch each other's bodies, but be naked.
Yeah. And they do. And Jackson, this lives rent free in my head. When Jackson takes his shirt off and she says, oh my God, first of all, correct. And then he right. goes, what, do you want me to put it back on? And she's like, no, never put it back on. I'm like, yes, queen. Correct.
Yeah, that was really funny. Never put it back on.
Yeah. Like, this girl gets it. That the whole thing with Shane and April to me was just weird because I'm like, are they trying to say she's putting this on to like get away from Jackson, or are they trying to say this is how she's always been and I've just never noticed it before? I think it's the second one.
Yeah, I think I don't know. She's been kind of like staying away from the intern drama because she never boned Alex, I don't think, right?
Mm-mm. Just Jackson. Remember, she was a virgin.
Oh, wait, sorry. We shifted gears to April. That's my bad. I thought we were backing about Steph.
Oh, right. No.
That's my fault. Yeah, she's avoiding.
Right, because, yeah, Steph does ask Joe, like, is it bad for me to sleep with him? And she's like, well, it's what something Leah would do. Do you want to be like Leah? And she's like, ew, no.
Ew, no. Although Leah actually did not have that bad of an episode.
This was a good episode for Leah.
Yeah, she was, like, pretty good. She was kind to Weber. She was doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is interesting the way that they were trying to play up the Shane and April thing. And I like that he's like, oh, look, I love that you're my mentor. Like, I don't want to ruin this. And she's like, what the fuck?
Well, she's like mortified. She's yeah. like, do you feel sexually harassed? Like, have I sexually harassed? Like, she feels bad.
Yeah.
Again, awkward. It's awkward. And so... then and that one biker guy like harassing him about it. I'm like, you're not helping.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Speaking of, we haven't even talked about the bikers yet.
I know, right? So much to cover still. So yeah, that was just weird for me. And then, you know, Shane and Jackson are
Shane and Jackson. Stephanie
are the feeling next the vibes.
Fanfic.
So Stephanie like leaves the OR and Jackson's like, you're not Alex, don't sleep with the intern. And then they're in the car and he's like, oh, we missed the ceremony, like, do you want me to take you home? And she's like, I cannot have sex with you. And he's like, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
And she's like, we shouldn't have sex. And he's like, yeah, we definitely shouldn't have sex. And they immediately have sex.
Yeah, that's a bit of a, you know, what are we doing here, guys? Like, we're just saying this is not opposite day. Okay, like
feels misleading,
and it also feels like this is the part where I'm like, where did it come from? Was this something like, has Steph been attracted to Jackson the whole time? Or,
well, who isn't? Well, yeah, last episode they talk about how she's like, I can't talk around him because he has pretty eyes and a pretty face,
which, yeah, he does.
It's so true.
Yeah. So, but also like, she also has pretty eyes and a pretty face.
It is true.
The way that her eyes were looking in that scene where they had the mask on and they're doing the thing, I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, dang girl, I see you. I see mm-hmm. you seeing me, seeing you.
You done?
Yeah, yeah.
So, they have sex in the back. That car is fogged up.
Oh, yeah. Titanic level fog.
I was just about to say that's some Titanic shit.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen Titanic and I know about that.
You haven't seen Titanic?
No, why would I watch it? I know how it ends.
I've seen the first half. I don't know how it ends.
Oh, but that's not why you're afraid of cruises, because you have on more than one occasion quoted that as the reason that you're afraid of cruises.
Yeah, I know how the historical Titanic ends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You think that's,
I don't know how the movie
Titanic. You think they changed
Titanic
it in the movie?
Ends. There are
just
times
get to New York.
there are times they take liberties with these things. I know that Jack freezes on a thing, and I know that she blows a whistle. And
do
I
you
know
that Jack and Rose were not real people?
I know that Rose was a real person. She talked to the guys who found the boat.
Yeah, Jack and Rose weren't real people.
I know they're not real people. See, this is what's called
a lie.
Artistic liberties. Oh. See, I take artistic liberties with everything in my life.
That is, you do. That is so accurate. It's not a lie. It's an artistic liberty.
I love it. I would never lie. I would take artistic liberties.
No,
and believe
he doesn't
them.
Lie. He does bits.
I do bits.
Okay. So, yeah. Anyways, they fuck in the car. And Shane and April do not fuck and set a healthy boundary instead. And she apologizes for the miscommunication.
And they awkwardly clink their glasses and then have to go on with the rest of the night.
Yeah. Okay, is there anything else about the four of them that needs to be mentioned?
No, but I do have one thing that is in this note section that was not in the other note section regarding Weber.
Mm.
When Weber is sitting there crying and when he tells Meredith about the heart attack, he says to her, you did everything right.
Yeah.
And that's just such a like,
yeah,
because
she
scene.
Starts, she's like, oh, I shouldn't have left, like, I should have stayed. And he's like, no,
you did everything right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good call out.
Biker gang. Apparently there's things that they do in this episode.
Okay. So Owen and Christina are going to get divorced, but also
they're going to, they're going to have to just bone.
They're having 20 divorce
times.
Sex.
Yeah. As one does,
I guess. And, then they have to sign. Well, Christina's like, oh, I don't want to go to the wedding if I'm just going to like sign divorce papers. Like that feels weird, which is kind of valid. And then he's like, no, you should go. It's okay. And then the biker gang rolls up with the ambulance. He's like, maybe you stay. And so then there's like various levels of injuries and various wounds. Most of it is like superficial. Really only Stuart, I think, is the only one that has to have surgery. Like everyone else is mostly like stitches and skin wounds mostly. I don't think they had like broken bones or anything crazy. Stuart's seen better days though. Stuart's having a rough time. They kind of like are trying to figure out. Gasoline is like, nobody touch me, bro. I'm gonna shove your stethoscope up your ass.
That's an exact quote.
What you say to a doctor. And so then Owen's like, okay, how about everyone calm the fuck down? You can find Stuart. We'll get you an update. You don't be an asshole to the doctors. And she's like, fine, I'll allow it. And so the thing is, Stuart saying it's his fault. Other people are saying it's Stuart's fault. They're saying like someone says that Stuart's not really in the biker gang. Like they imply that he's not really one of them, but then, oh, like the big reveal is like, oh, but we do love him. He's our accountant and we love him.
He got us on medical insurance.
Like, yeah. I'm like, why do you need an accountant? Is this a job?
Well, what you don't understand is they don't go into the economics of the shakedowns and the protection that they provide to local businesses from the other gangs.
The stereotype you always hear about biker gangs is they're actually like super generous. And like he says, like, oh, he helps us set up a toy drive. And like they do all this charity work, which is fine. But I'm like, is that why you need an accountant? Like, this is not like when he says he got us on a medical plan, I'm like, your biker gang cannot be where you're getting your health insurance. Like that does not make sense to me. The toy drive and then like having an accountant as like a charitable organization, I get. But I'm like, are you telling me this is fully a nonprofit and like this is your job?
I think because they are.
Good for you guys. If anyone has insight into this as a lifestyle, let me know. I don't ever want to be on a motorcycle.
Yeah, it's all the biker gangs listening to this episode, please reach out to us.
Michael really wants to get his motorcycle license. I am against it because it does not matter if you are the best motorcyclist ever to exist. There are other people driving cars that are morons. And they will run into you or run you over. And there's just nothing between you and the road or you in another car. There's just not enough stuff in between.
Totally unboxed.
Uncaged, if you will. Uncaged. I need them. I want uncaged? A metal cage. I want the metal cage.
I want
that. Bring back my element. I miss that thing. My honestly, big old metal box.
Make metal cages great again, you know?
Oh, well, let's be careful because they're trying to.
Yeah. It's fair. Okay. I actually take back. I realize now the irony of that. I take that all back. I take
it. So, anyways, Gasoline has something in her heart Christina needs to fix, and she's like, I won't. I gotta find Stuart. Owen thinks she's trying to kill Stuart. She's actually just like concerned for him because they do love him. He's part of the gang.
Well, they made a custom patch on their cricket they need to give him.
Hey, don't shit on the cricket.
I wasn't.
Also, I don't think it can do embroidery work.
That's the cricket plus.
So then Gasoline has a heart incident. Christina and Brooke save her. Everybody's fine. They give Stuart his patch. They tell him his road name is Road Rash, which is pretty badass, honestly. It's cute. They're great. you look like a weird Ed Sheeran when you do that.
Here's my bangs again.
I hate it. Okay. So then Owen's like, I don't understand motorcycles. And one of the motorcycle guys is like, what do you drive? And he's a pickup. And he's like, well, that's boxing you in. Every time you're on the road, you're in a box. You got a box and you're in a... Everything's boxing you in. Once you get out of that box, your life is better. I'm like, okay, but then you get run over. It's not better anymore.
Yeah, well, the first thing he says is like, that totally makes sense. You look like a pickup truck, bitch.
Yeah. You would drive a fucking pickup
truck. You would drive a pickup truck. Blah. Owen's character drives a Cybertruck.
Gross.
Yeah, it's, but they all live, and then he gets welcomed in.
You're a cager, that's what he says.
Cager.
When you hit the road, you're stuck in a metal box, but the day you step out of that cage, say sayonara to your job, your marriage, whatever the hell is boxing you in, you'll never give that up. So once you abandon your entire life, you'll love it. That's what the moral of the story is.
And that's, you know, the only thing that separates us from freedom is the dismantling of all societal norms and structures, you know. That's
obviously, like, for the point of plot, they have to do this so that it parallels Owen and Christina's divorce, so he can say, let's let ourselves out of the box so that we are not fighting it anymore. But like, what the fuck? Because they're like, yay, we're not married, let's keep fucking. So something about being married is what they seem to think is the problem. Now, to Owen's credit, he did say verbatim, we never should have gotten married, which is accurate.
Correct. Yeah.
Not being married to each other does not solve anything. I mean, if they continue to be together.
Right. Because then they're still in their box. It's they're just still not called together. Marriage. Like, the relationship, it's just not called marriage anymore.
Yeah.
It's still the box. So, it's still the cage. It's whatever it is.
Yeah, it's real weird. When we did, we took something beautiful and we put it in this box. And for the last 2 years, all we have done is beat against those walls and tear each other apart, which is true. And he says, now we sign these papers, that ends. We get out of that box. We don't hurt each other anymore. So they sign the papers, they cry, and then they kiss. I don't.
It's convoluted at best.
Nothing's changed. Like, he still wants a family and she still doesn't. Like, I don't understand how not being married solves that.
Yeah,
if you're going to continue to be together.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's it for me. I mean, did you have anything else on Owen and Christina or the bikers?
The Owen and Christina storyline, the only thing I want to make sure is just emphasized is just stop being together. Just stop completely. Mm-hmm. Like, stop it. The biker gang thing. I thought Gasoline was funny. Mm-hmm. And at one point she's like, I'm 85% metal. I don't need you fixing my heart. It'll go away on its own or some shit. And I think it's funny that one of the bikers was like, hey, Shane, like, that redhead girl, she wants your balls, dude. Like, go fuck her.
So weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good. I think I've not missed anything.
Oh, I wanted to say, when they first roll up, the bikers, and they're like, what the fuck happened? And then I believe Hammer is one of the guys that's talking. I'm not sure. He's like, oh, I looked back and half the club was eating asphalt. Which is funny because he says eating ass.
That is funny. Is he the guy that goes up to Owen and is like, are you going to stand there holding your junk in your hands?
Or are you going to do something? Yeah, it's absurd.
Yeah.
Like, what a time to be alive.
Biker what a time gangs to be are alive. Funny.
So,
yeah. All right. Let's let's rate it. Let's do Discord questions and let's predictions if we got them.
Yeah.
Can I rank this one first? I think I'm gonna give it a. I'm gonna give it a 4. I actually really enjoyed this episode.
Wow. I'm gonna give it a 4.7.
Nice.
Because I love it. The end gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, I think. No, I'd like to upgrade mine to at least a 4.2.
Okay.
The drama that I felt, I don't remember what I ranked last episode, but I think it was also in the 4s somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to explain, but it didn't hit me at a 5 level.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cliffhanger
kind of sets up a lot of.
Well, it wasn't really a cliffhanger for us, the audience, because we know where Bailey is. It's a cliffhanger for Ben, because he doesn't know where she is.
Yeah. And it's a cliffhanger for Adele, because we don't know if she'll live or die. But now neither does she. So, yeah, good overall episode. Good dialogue. Hold on. I'm sorry. I think I'd like to upgrade one more time.
Okay.
I think I'm going to bring it all the way to a 4.5. And that's my final answer. So, okay. Alicia, don't put those other 4.5. 4.5 is my answer. Because I also do really like that monologue.
You're doing great. Was it the Bailey
the and Ben and Bailey one? Dialogue? Yeah.
Okay. Thoughts on finding out Richard stopped visiting Adele altogether? How awkward was the hard truth combo with the nursing home director? Very awkward. And what the fuck, Richard? I mean, it's not surprising. We know. Like, there's no way he's been visiting her. Like, he's fully on to his next relationship.
Yeah. I don't think I have, like, a ton of blame for Richard. But it is like, bro, come on. Even if she doesn't remember, like, check your box. Something.
Or, like, at least, like, call the nursing home and see how she's doing.
Right. Yeah.
Did Jackson do to Stephanie what Shane assumed April was doing to him?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, because he doesn't want to. Yeah.
He's, like, talking himself down. He's like, don't sleep with this person.
Yeah. He ultimately is in the worst case scenario of what April was trying to prevent. But like, he didn't, I don't think that he started this journey.
Oh no, he didn't go yearning, looking for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any last words for Adele? R.I.P.
I like this Adele much better than the singer Adele.
Dude, fuck off. Adele is so good. I love her music. What is wrong with you? Because they're all ballads and you don't like ballads.
That was me just being a bit of a cheeky dig. I take it back. I think that Adele has been a really awesome character. She, I think, facilitated a lot of
backstory
and growth to Richard, to Meredith, to Ellis. And
a little with Addison and Derek also.
Yeah, yeah. So for that, I'm grateful for Adele and what she's brought to the show.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adele.
Did the nursing home have a responsibility to re-clarify to Richard they never meant for him to stop visiting Adele altogether? Unless she's asking for him, I don't think they have a responsibility. But that doesn't mean I don't think they should.
Like, also, what is the frequency expectation here?
Yeah. But, like, if you think back to Meredith, I do think the nursing home was like, hey, like, do you want to show up for your mom at all?
Yeah.
So it is kind of like, because that was the same nursing home. And so it is kind of like, okay, well, if that's the precedent you're going to set, then they should probably be like, hey, are you going to show up at all? Now, again, I don't think you can say, you know, that they never said that was within their job description. So it's more just like, that doesn't mean they shouldn't be doing that. I am of the opinion that, yeah, if they think it's going to benefit her, they should at least call him and kind of keep him in the loop. But also on him, I think he is more at fault
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he should have been, he can call and be like, hey, how's she doing? Like, what do you think it would do if I came to visit?
But also, what's the, sorry for the podcast, John, what's the frequency like that you go where it's stopping altogether? If so, he hasn't been there in, you imagine, 4 or 5 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes twice a year, that's not altogether, but that's very infrequent compared to maybe what, once every other day or once a day when he was going. So I think the drop off was way too drastic, way too quick, and there should have been communication from the nursing home. Yes. He's still in the wrong, but like also.
Well, my thing is also place. Like, if they're going, if this man is going to say that to him now, I'm like, if you don't have the problem to be like, well, I didn't tell you to stop visiting altogether, then you probably could have called and said that on the phone. If you are just going to keep it to yourself and just think like, hey, this guy's a shitty husband and he should still visit, but you just keep that thought to yourself, then yeah, I don't think you have to say it to him.
Like, I think if you're going,
but if you're going to say it, then say it in a constructive, helpful way earlier on.
Right. If you are going from once every day or once every other day, even once a week, to nothing for 2 months, that's got to be like, I think the 1 month mark. You're like, hey,
are you out of town?
We haven't seen you for 30 days. We used to mm-hmm. see you every day, twice a day.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, what's the next question?
Who had the worst real or fake story about their past out of Alex or Joe?
Alex.
I think Alex's real story is worse, but that fake story Joe told from this movie is horrendous.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's but I think Alex's real story is worse, probably.
Yeah. His real story is worse than the fake one. Also, there's just so much terrible stuff out there. Release the Epstein files.
Oh my God. I cannot with this. It's insane. It's insane.
It's insane.
Just like, guys, come on.
Diddy was guilty.
Oh my God. Don't even. And release the Epstein files. Started on that shit. God, believe women. It's just so, like, the bar is so low.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about the decision to have Adele die off screen?
Good.
Good, because I like the whole like thing of like, Richard said he was never going to leave her. So for him to get to be at the wedding, she has to die.
Yeah.
So he did stay with her until the end, which,
yeah,
to your point, was good.
And we see it off screen. And then, so like, the way that we're going to picture Adele is her saying, Richard, don't leave. Mm-hmm. And then them dancing into eternity at the wedding that he envisions.
Yeah. So where Janisha had written thoughts on finding out Richard stopped visiting Adele altogether, Zoe responded, my thoughts are that he is trifling.
Yeah.
And that's where the conversation started. So then Janisha said, same, because, sir, have you not even called to check in on her regularly? And then someone said, Richard heard you should visit less and took that literally. He took it as don't come back here. Not a wellness check in sight.
I also, this is 2013. Mm-hmm. You can text. Did they not give this woman a phone? Does she not have a phone?
Probably not. I mean, she would have a landline, but again, with Alzheimer's, it's like, you might think you don't remember.
I guess like the times where she's lucid, is she not calling him?
I think the implication is that she's really not lucid.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah. I don't
know.
He is trifling for sure.
Yeah. Richard was dying for a reason to run into Catherine's arms, and the home director gave him an excuse. That's a more cynical view of it, but I both can and can't believe he was even making a phone call every now and then. He tried to hold himself back just a tiny bit, and when no one told him, yeah, maybe you should chill and hang out with your actual wife, he said, bet, new life, here I come.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good stuff. Predictions.
Yeah, predictions. Joe and Alex married. Okay. Beautiful babies.
You want to timestamp that?
timestamp on that part, no, but they're going to get together. They're going to have their first kiss on or before season 10, episode 20.
No, you said season 9, episode 20.
Season 9. Sorry, we're not on season 10.
This
now.
Current season.
This current season, episode 20.
Shane
and April are not going to get together, but this is a very funny storyline because I still think that there's some April and Jackson relationship that needs to be explored.
Yeah, what do you think April's, like, do you think she'll find out about Stephanie? How do you think that's going to go down?
Oh. You know, technically they haven't had sex that we've seen. We haven't seen penetration. So we don't know
we
that
never
it
have. So I don't know that that's like a great yardstick to use.
Kelsey, that was really funny. That was really funny. Your delivery, your facial expression, it was just no notes.
The gummies in my mouth.
I think that April's going to take it poorly, and that's going to be the catalyst for her to finally confess her true feelings for Jackson. And then maybe she'll just shut the fuck up about, it's like a car crash that you can't look away from, or whatever she said.
Yeah, that was annoying.
Weber and Catherine are going to get married, and Weber is going to be Jackson's stepfather. And
Bailey Weber, and Ben.
Bailey and Ben, yeah, they're good. They're going to get married. They're going to be great.
They are married. Awesome. We saw that.
Yeah. And they will penetrate later on in the evening.
We won't see it.
Consummate the marriage. They're gonna have a kid together.
Oh, Bailey's Kelly gonna have another kid.
Kelly and Arizona, they're gonna bone soon. They're teetering on boning. Season 9, episode 15, they will smush. Episode 15, 1 + 5 = 6. Mm-hmm. 6, 9.
So nice.
Yeah.
I had something else. Oh, Owen and Christina.
I think they're gonna not be able to quit each other, and they're gonna fuck. They're gonna keep sexing. But they are officially divorced, which I'm happy about, and then they'll break up at some point. Or Owen dies?
From why?
From death.
Oh, cause of death. Death.
Teddy comes back and kills him.
Ugh, good for her.
This is what Henry felt like.
Delightful. Okay, do you have any other predictions you want to make? We didn't really get much from Derek this episode. Do you have anything to say about him?
Yeah, his hand's going to be fine. It's going to work great.
Great. Okay.
And the baby's going to be fine. Meredith is going to give birth to the baby. It's going to be great.
I keep forgetting about that.
It's going to be a boy. A baby boy. They're going to name him Mark.
Mark. What? Mark Derek Shepherd.
Derek Mark Derek Shepherd. First name Derek, middle name Mark Derek, last name Shepherd.
Last name Shepherd Derek. They make him a new last name.
Mark. It's Derek Mark Derek Shepherd Shepherd.
That's like how my sister gets mad every time I don't name my child after her. So two times, because she didn't really want me to name Bennett after her.
Mm.
So she said that Scarlett's name should be Scarlett Catherine Emily Elizabeth Werner Jr. Kulisek. And then she said that Wyatt's name should be Wyatt Elizabeth Emily Elizabeth Werner Jr. Kulisek. Also, she says that I didn't name Wyatt after her. Like, they have the same middle name. Emily, come on.
Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I did. But she says I didn't. Anyways, well, okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. Sorry this one was rambly and goobery, but you know what? We're doing our best. We're having a good time. This is a good season.
I don't apologize.
I'm excited for the season. Take it. Okay, aggressive. excited for the rest of the season. There's 14 episodes left, which is crazy because that's Just not how they do TV anymore.
14 episodes with Shonda.
Yeah. So we get to experience so many more, so much more of this journey. I love it. So thank you guys for listening. We love you. Visit graysacademypod.com to find our socials and our merch and all of our things. And you can please leave us reviews and leave us 5-star reviews and also a little write-up review. We love it. It helps. Make sure you tell everybody ever about us. Make sure you share us on your socials. Make sure you tell all the people on the street. And if you see Carmen walking on the street, make sure you tell him nothing, because remember,
no spoilies. It's in the name. It's in the us. It's in the game. It's EA Sports. It's in the game. We appreciate you all. We'll see you all in the next one.